God's name be glorified. First of all, I'd like to thank the assembly for remembering us as a family in your prayers, especially with Sujita during her pregnancy and even after that, after the delivery. Initially, like for almost 1.5 months, she was in deep pain and also with bleeding and things. But in the midst of all that, God has been gracious enough to take care of her, and at the same time the prayers of the assembly was really valuable, which helped her. And today as a family we are very happy that we could join the assembly and praise and worship the Lord. For today's short time of meditation, please turn with me to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6 verse 9 to 22. Genesis chapter 6 verse 9 to 22. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japhet. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its breadth 50 cubits, its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to the cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing flood waters on the earth to destroy them, destroy from under heaven all flesh, in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your son's wife with you. And of every living things of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of creeping, every creeping things of the earth after its kind. Two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive, and you shall take for yourself of all flesh that is eaten, of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them." Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so did he. This is a very familiar passage, which most of the times we have been going through this chapter. When you go through this passage here, we can see five different lessons which we can learn from the life of Noah. And we know that previous to this, in the background of the story, from the beginning of God's creation, God created everything in this earth. Let it be the sun, the moon, the star, the universe, the plants, each and everything, whatever we see around. We know that God created. And finally, God created man. And we know the purpose, as it says in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 7. "I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yeah, I have made him." The purpose of God to create man was for his glory. Even when we read Genesis chapter 1, the last verse, when he finished all his creation, he says, like in verse 31, the second part, he says, "Then God saw everything that he made, and indeed it was very good." He was so happy with his own creation. He says it is all very good. But we know that later what happened. And when we read the same Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 and 6, there we can see it says, "And then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart." He was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he grieved in his heart. Here we can see God created, even though he was very happy, but later on, we can see here God says he grieved in his heart for creating man. And when we read verse 7, there we can see the decision what the Lord took. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. Here we can see, after God's creation, he himself, when he saw that man disobeyed God, when he saw the wickedness of man in this earth, the decision what he took is to destroy each and every creation. But what happened in that is what we can see in verse 8. It starts by saying, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There's only one man who found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and that is Noah. When you try to understand the meaning of the word Noah itself, it says a rest or comfort. And that's clearly explained in verse chapter 5 and verse 29. And he called his name Noah, saying, this one will comfort us concerning our work and the toils of our hands. Here we can see Noah, who is the firstborn of Lamech, who is the tenth generation of man on earth. And when we see, at the age of 480, God met Noah about his plan. And when God met Noah, we can see God discussed his plan. In verse 13, you can see, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Lord discussed his plan with Noah about destroying mankind. And we can see that even when God discussed that, the solution what God had is to wipe the mankind because of the sin. And also, as we read from verse 14 to down to verse 16, there we can see the God's plan to build the ark. And even when God spoke to him about building the ark, we know that it's not so easy. And when we read in the further passage, it almost took 120 years to build the ark. And the task which God gave to Noah was not a simple task. He knew it is something which he needs to do. And it's a lot of effort which is needed to do that. And it was not like a modern world where we have all the technologies or electrical equipments and everything. And to build the ark. And not only that, we can also see Noah was not a professional carpenter where he could build an ark. And not only that, we can also see that he didn't have much of laborers who can help him. His only family members was a source of help. We don't know how far his near and dear ones might help him. But he knows that he has to do the work on his own. And when we see verse 14 to 15, we can see the plan which God gives to build the ark. Verse 14 is to make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside. Pitch it, and this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. When we try to understand, it's like you can understand the length, like it's almost like 450 feet long. It's so huge. And its height is 37 feet height. And also the width itself is 75 feet. You can understand it's such a huge ark which Noah has to do alone. When Noah came to know all these things, when God shared his plan with Noah, we can see Noah, without saying a word, he accepted whatever the God said. And during this 120 years period of time, Noah might have also preached the gospel. Noah might have also spoken to the people the purpose of why he is building the ark. Even though God had a plan to destroy mankind, at the same time, he had a plan of salvation. Noah might have spoken to so many people why he is building the ark. And he might have spoken to them, maybe that during that period of time, nobody knew what is rain, what is flood. People didn't give value to what Noah was telling. And we know that Noah prepared the ark and it took 120 years. And at the age of 600, we can see that Noah entered the ark. When we read chapter 7 and verse 10, and it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood came on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second year of the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of the heavens were open. He was at the age of 600. He entered the ark and the rain started. And it rained, for the flood to come up, it took almost 7 days. And we know that it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. and the flood was there on the face of the earth for 150 days. When we read verse 24, it says, chapter 7 and verse 24, it says, and the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. Here, when you go through this, as I said, we can learn five key lessons from the life of Noah. First thing is the chapter 6 and verse 22. And Noah did according to all God commanded him to do so. Here we can see obedience to God. Now, here when God asked Noah to prepare the ark, here we can see when God asked Noah to prepare, he didn't even utter a single word. He didn't put his opinion in front of God. Now, he didn't say like, Lord, how can I do it on my own? And it's such a difficult task. It's not so easy. It was even in the midst of all that, we can see that Noah didn't even ask a single question to God. When it comes to ourselves, how are we in presence of God? How many excuses do we find if some task is difficult in our own life? It's always important to understand from the life of Noah that we need to live a life which is pleasing unto God. We need to obey God. Sometimes tasks might be very difficult, but just from the life of Noah, as we heard, there's no excuse or there's no reason where Noah has put forth before God as a means of excuse for the task which the Lord has given him. And Noah, we know that he knew the task which is there, which is ready. He knew it is going to be difficult. He knew that he's not going to get any support from his family members. He knew the people will criticize him. He knew the people over there are going to mock him. He knew it will take long days and years. He has to work so hard all alone day and night. Still, he obeyed God. And not only that, we need to obey God when the Spirit talks to us. As children of God, when we live in this world, always the Spirit of God talks to us. He makes us understand. We need to obey what God talks to us. And let it be in the workplace, let it be in the family, let it be in the schools, wherever the Lord has kept us, we need to be obedient. Lord has given the commandments what we need to obey. We need to make sure wherever we are, the God has placed us. Sometimes we are the only people in the society who is standing for it, but still we need to obey God. People might mock around us, people might abuse us, but still we need to obey God. When we read Psalms 119 verse 2, it says, Psalms 119 verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and seek him with whole heart. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and seek him with his whole heart. It's very much necessary that we keep his testimony, and then we are the blessed ones. May the Lord enable us in the days to come to be obedient, to obey God, the place where God has kept us. The second thing what we can see is trust God's plan. When we read Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1 to 5, I'll not go into that. But and also when we read verse chapter 6 and verse 13 to verse 21, there we can see God has shared his plan. When God shared his plan, he trusted in the plan of God. He placed his trust completely on God. He built the ark without about worrying what is going to happen next. He didn't think about his family. He didn't think about anything else. Even though he was not a professional guy, a professional carpenter, but still he trusted God. Noah might have faced, as I said, so many challenges. He might have incurred so many problems, but still, in the midst of all that, he trusted God. He doesn't know what the rain is. He doesn't know what a flood is. He might have only heard from God, but still he trusted God. And even during the midst of all this period, 120 years, he might have had so many ups and downs with his own physical health, but still he trusted God. Even in our daily life, we encounter so many challenges and problems. How are we? Do we trust God in the midst of all that? In Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, it says, when we read Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yeah, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. there's a word of promise which God gives us in the midst of whatever circumstances we are. God says that not to fear, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I'll help you. I'll uphold you with my right hand. And also when we read Psalms 55 and verse 22. Psalms 55 verse 22. It says, cast your burden onto the Lord. He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Cast your burdens unto the Lord. That's what we need to do when we are living in this world. Many times we might face challenges. Many times we might face problems. But we need to trust our living God. Put our faith on God. And we need to put our burdens on our Lord Jesus. And He is there to help us. We need not be anxious. Due to many times we are anxious because of the lack of trust which we have in God. When we put our trust in God, God is there to help us. We are fearful of what is going to happen tomorrow. But even though many a times we have experienced God's mercy, God's grace and God's love in our life, but still when the challenges comes in front of us, when things are different, we always fear what is going to happen. And here God says to trust Him, put our burdens on Him. He's there to take care of us. And also when we read Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 to 6, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. Here we can understand many times this is also another thing which we need to understand in our life. We need to trust God with all our heart. And not only that, lean on your own, not on our own understanding. Many times what happens is we have our own plans. And when the things doesn't work according to that, we started having a fear factor in our own life. Here God says, like, lean not on your own understanding, but you need to trust in the Lord. May the Lord enable us in the days to come. Just like Noah, he trusted God's plan. Let's also put ourselves in the presence of God and pray to the Lord that He might give us that faith in us day by day to trust in Him, trust in His plan and to move forward. Also, when we read the third thing, what we can see is in when we read the same chapter, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9 to 10, 9 and 10. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his righteousness. Noah walked with God, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japhet. Here we can see righteousness in the midst of wickedness. Righteousness in the midst of wickedness. We also live in the same world where Noah lived. We can see that Noah lived among the wicked people. As we see very clearly, it's written that the times when Noah lived, the wickedness of the man, the evil thoughts of man, such was the time when Noah lived. And we know that it's not different today. Even today, we also live in a wicked world. And we can see people did sin and were walking in their own ways. They disobeyed God and did not follow the command or the instruction of God. They were doing what is right in their own eyes. Even in the midst of that, there's only one person who was righteous. And that's what Noah. And it says three things about Noah. The first thing we can see that Noah was a just man. Second, we can see he was a perfect in his generation. And thirdly, we can see that he walked with God. Now this is something which the Lord wants to talk to us in this period. That we are also living in a wicked world. We are also living in a world which is surrounded with sin. But we need to understand that in the midst of all that, as children of God, we need to live a perfect life which is pleasing unto God. And even in that situation, we can see that nothing of that period hindered Noah from following God. He walked with God in the midst of all that. And as children of God, it is very much important that we follow God. When we read Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee. Seek ye first the kingdom of the God. It's very much important when we live in this world, our first priority should be seeking God and his righteousness, and then all the things shall be added unto you. And after that, when we read 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11, it says, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11, "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness." When we are in this world, when we see that things that are not right, we need to run away from that. And we need to get rid of those things and pursue that is righteous. To be righteous does not mean to correct someone of what you know what is right. It's presenting ourselves as perfect, but at the same time, it's perfect in the sense it's through our works, through our deeds. And when we are in presence of other people, how are we? What do people call us when we are in this world? Are we an example for them? Are we trying to be righteous or trying to go with the flow of that which is not right? A sinful act is always something which takes us from the presence of God. It is hinders the God's plan in our life. God has a plan for each and every child of God. And sometimes it's only the sin which hinders the plan of God in our life. God is merciful, but at the same time, He is also a God of justice. Just like during the days of Noah, we can see God planned to punish the earth. He has planned to bring flood and to destroy the earth. But even in the midst of that, God prepared an ark, which is a means of salvation for the people. Same like that, we know that in our life, if God, for us, He has sent His only begotten Son, there is a Redeemer who is God has given for us. Even in the midst of the wicked world where we are living, we need to make sure that we live for God. We be righteous in the presence of God. And that is possible only when we pray and when we read the Word of God. When we live a life, to live a life which is pleasing unto God, it's possible. Or to be a righteous, to be righteous in this wicked world, it's possible only when you read the Word of God. It's only possible when you pray. And pray in the presence of God. May the Lord enable us that in the days to come, when we are living in this dark world, that we might be shining forth as light wherever the Lord has kept us. And the fourth thing what we can see is hope in the middle of uncertainty. And we know that when we read chapter 8 and verse 6 to 12, "And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. Then he sent out raven which kept going to and fro until the waters had dried up upon the earth from the earth. He also sent out from himself a dove to see if the waters had receded from the face of the ground. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot, and she returned into the ark to him. For the waters were on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and drew her into the ark to himself. And he waited yet another 7 days, and again he sent the dove out from the ark. Then the dove came to him in the evening, and behold, a freshly plucked olive leaves was in her mouth. And Noah knew that the waters had receded from the earth. So he waited yet another 7 days and sent out the dove, which did not return again to him." Here we can see the hope that Noah had in the middle of uncertainty. When God spoke to Noah, we know first of all, Noah, even though he knew that it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights, he had put his trust on God. And here we can see after 40 days and 40 nights, the rain stopped, and then Noah is sending the raven to check. Noah didn't knew that he has to keep waiting. You know, the hope which he had, the one day the water is going to recede. Because he knew it's going to be flooded, everything he knew. But he didn't know for how many days it is. Here we can see Noah had that hope that one day it is going to come down. He sent a raven, and then we can see he sent a dove. But still, in the midst of that, he didn't lose his hope. He waited on God's plan. And many a times, how are we sometimes, when we don't get answer to the prayers, what we do, sometimes we lose our hope. We always set a time frame to God that, okay, this has to happen and so on such time. And when things doesn't happen on that particular time, we lose our hope. Here we know that Noah didn't knew how long. Even when he started preparing the ark, you know, it took 120 years. It was not a small time. So many years, but he kept his hope on the Lord. And after that, even when after the rain stopped, he kept his hope for another 110 days for the plan of God to be fulfilled. And when it comes to our own life, how are we? Do we keep praying till it get answered, or do we stop in between, seeing that things are not happening the way it is supposed to happen? When we read Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thought of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. We need to understand one thing. God has a perfect plan for us. He just wants us to trust on that God, and he has a perfect plan for us. And also when we read Psalms 33 and verse 18, then we can see it says, behold, the eyes of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy. The eyes of the Lord is on those who fear him and those who hope in his mercy. We need to trust, put a complete trust, and the God, he will bring it to pass at an appointed time. The fifth thing what we can see over here is to listen to God's call. It's very important to listen to God's call. Noah never thought that God would choose him as a means of salvation through by preparing that ark. He would have never thought that he would be a means of salvation for the humanity by preparing that ark. But we can see when God gave the command to build the ark, he was prepared. He heard whatever the God said to him. Noah listened carefully what God has asked him to do and proceeded with the building of the ark. Are we listening to God's call? It's very important to understand and know the God's call. And when we live in this world, there are so many things which takes away our time. It's in the world where we live, there's so many things that distracts us, where we are not able to hear the God's call. Nowadays, the gadgets, the mobile phones, spending hours together is just small videos and reels. The social medias which are around us, the television, how much time do we spend? When you compare to the time which you spend in the presence by reading the word of God and the time which you spend on the mobiles or the, any other gadgets, how much is it? We need to examine our own life. I know none of us are perfect, but we can just examine our own life and see, are we giving time to the Lord to speak to us? And we know that God will speak to us only when you sit in the presence of God. And that's the only way you can hear or listen to God's call. We need to spend time in reading the word of God. We need to pray, and that's when God speaks to us. May the Lord enable us in the days to come that we might spend our time in the presence of God to be perfect and to walk with God and to learn from God, so that God may see. Here, as we saw in the life of Noah and how God testified himself, and Noah, he was a just man. He was the perfect in his generation, and he walked with God. It's very important for us when we live in this world to listen to God's call. God talks to each and every one of us, but are we giving time to God to call, talk to us? That's very important. May the Lord enable us in the days to come to be obedient to God. Not only that, to put our trust in the God's plan, and also to be righteous and keep the hope that God has given, and also to listen to God's call. May the Lord enable us to live a life pleasing unto him, and may his name be glorified. Let's pray. A gracious Lord, our Father, we praise and thank you for this time which thou hast given us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for enabling us this morning time to worship thee, O Lord, and also as thy children, Lord, this evening time, this afternoon time, Lord, you helped us to sit with the word of God, and thank you, Lord, for speaking to us, Lord. From the life of Noah, Lord, we pray that in the days to come, as we heard that Noah was a perfect man and the righteous person in that generation, and not only that, he was a perfect man for that. We pray that in the days to come, we might also, as we live in this wicked world, we might live a life which is pleasing unto thee. We might be obedient to God. Not only that, we might trust on our Lord. And not only that, we might also be righteous wherever you have kept us, Lord. And also keep up the hope, Lord. And also, Lord, we pray that we might listen to God's calling, Lord. Pray that in the days to come, Lord, as we live, we pray that we might be a true testimony wherever Lord has kept us, Lord. We ask this in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.